Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 443. We're going to talk about various types of differences, conflicting needs between a husband and wife, three basic categories of conflicts, and we're going to discuss it and how to resolve it. The first one is spouses having conflicting beliefs in what is right and what is proper. And that is coming from higher motives. Each spouse simply wants to do what he or she believes is right. So, for example, if you're in a household where you feel the food isn't up to kashrus, you want chalav yisrael all the time, your spouse comes from a family that does not have chalav yisrael all the time, you want svarim in the house, but your spouse has a need for some secular books in the house. We're not talking about anything not kosher, but just a different type of a standard. You have a situation where a husband comes home, reads a newspaper, wife would think to herself how nice it would be if their children saw him looking into a sefer, or the wife coming home from every Wednesday night from the gym, husband reflects it would be so nice for her daughters if she would be doing chesed or attending the shir. So in all of these cases, each one is saying in their heads, this isn't the way I want to raise my children. One spouse sees something as a well-deserved relaxation, reading the newspaper or going to the gym. The other one sees it as wrong. Or, for example, one of them grew up when they teach the kids classic children's books. And because it's educational and the rich language, illustrations, and they'll develop better reading skills and so on. Her husband, though, basically remembers how his father taught, the mother taught them stories, the Jewish stories of tzaddikim and mitzvahs. And the wife knows husband doesn't like the books that she reads to the children, but she feels they need a strong foundation in reading. And he feels that the Jewish books very often are tiresome, are not written that well, although Baruch Hashem got better. So he feels it's a holy cause. He doesn't want his children's mind filled with fairy tales. So here is where there's a difference that is a idea of where it seems like there's no middle ground. Either the husband will allow the children to read these other books and be exposed to these literatures, or be insulated. There's no middle way. Either you're makbid with Chol of Yisrael in the house, or you're not. And so on and so forth. So, or in spending habits also. You have sometimes, based on the upbringing, it's a difference of Ashkafa and Bitochin, but it's a different upbringing. For example, if one of the spouses, if the parents were Holocaust survivors, they would be basically very conservative in the way they spend their money. While the other one, where that wasn't the case, they spend more. And it's hard to coexist peacefully in one household when one wants to buy an expensive item for the child because she feels it's worth the price. Husband feels betrayed because he feels she's wasting hard-earned money. On the other hand, if she gives in to her husband and buys a cheaper option, she feels hopeless. She feels that she's not valued. Another difference could be in how and when is it necessary to borrow money. So when it's needed, medical expenses usually, everyone will be maskim, you could borrow money for that purpose. But things that are less obvious, let's say a tutor, a summer camp that you can't really afford, music lessons, and so on and so forth, it's not easy. So here is just different examples of basic differences that are totally in principles. And we're going to talk in later shiurim how to cope with this and how to deal with this, and to work through these differences. Then there's another form of differences where it's not that hashkafa difference, but that it means a lot. It has a strong impact on one versus the other. So, for example, a wife speaks to her husband in a way that seems condescending. Seems like she doesn't consider him bright enough to understand things. So, for example, she asks him to pick up milk and on the way home from shul, and he asks her, what kind of milk would you like? And she says, well, what kind do we use? Implying that just give it a little thought. You won't have to bother asking such a silly question. And it bothers him because he just simply desires his wife to speak to him more respectfully. Or, husband's living in Lakewood. He's thriving there in the yeshiva. He loves the community there. Wife comes from a small out-of-town community, wants to move back to a more simple lifestyle. She enjoys the simplicity and friendliness of her former home. This is her family. She has trouble making friends and adjusting to Lakewood. Husband feels that she should try harder. There's another example. Wife grew up in a house where the family ate supper together. Husband's schedule would normally allow it, but he has a hard time pinning himself down. And so there's a difference of opinion there. He wants to go out to the gym and work out or exercise or play baseball Sundays. Wife needs his presence, so there's a balance there. One likes to go to their parents for Shabbos, and the other spouse likes to stay home. All of these things are also differences that could take place between couples. A third one is cumulative small issues, which means that it's just repeated irritating behaviors that happen over and over again that in and of itself is nothing really, but it builds up, or a lot of little things that add up. You know, you leave your wrappers in the car, and then you're texting while you're talking, and then you play annoying music. You leave a wet towel on the floor. So the combination of these little things builds up as a buildup. And these meaningless things sometimes bother them. So sometimes you feel trivial. Why should you mention it? But it's important often to mention it. So we talked about Vatranis in these last few shiurim. And if you mevater in a superficial way, these differences that we just described will turn out to be something bigger. So, for example, if a wife prefers Shabbos at home, she may feel that the proper reaction is, let me swallow the negative feelings, go to my in-laws with a smile on her face. Husband will have no idea that she's not happy with it, or that she's uncomfortable, or she's under an emotional strain being by his parents during that whole 25 hours of Shabbos. He thinks everything is well. And then in a couple of weeks, they get another invitation. He says, sure, no problem. And then his wife explodes. You're not considerate. And he doesn't understand. That's a harsh reaction. The answer is very simple. She never expressed to her husband that it's a strain and it's hard for her going away to her parents, his parents. Sometimes over here, if it really bothers her in a nice way, in a delicate way, she needs to open up and not just swallow it, but to explain it sometimes not so easy. Then they could work through it together. Then he knows, okay, now before I get another invitation, let me talk to my wife about it. Let's see if she's ready for it. She may say, now this week is not good, but I'll be able to do it in another week. I'll prepare myself for it. And so on and so forth. They work it out together. So here's another example where you think you're doing a good thing of being mevater, of giving up, but if it's going to breed inside an uncomfortableness and your husband or wife has no idea what you're being mevater about, then it could lead to more problems. Another way where small issues turn into big ones is when one party is always giving in. For example, one is more, has a fiery nature, so the other one gives up and gives in because they don't want the blow up. Not healthy. The one who is more mild-mannered needs to step up and say, no, you know, I don't agree with this. Or just because I'm not going to just live my life on eggshells because you blow up. One spouse is more moody, so you don't want to do anything to provoke a bad mood with that moody spouse. Again, you could be mevater and swallow, but in most cases, it's better to address it head on. You need to work on not to be dictated by your moods. I don't need to be walking on eggshells all the time. and so on and so forth. So you have all these things. For example, one of them is not assertive. People who have low self-esteem may believe that their husband or wife doesn't love them. In reality, it's just a lack of healthy assertiveness, but they need to work on it. Some people never heard their parents disagree on anything. So when they have disagreements now, they think it's dangerous to the marriage. In reality, it's not. So there are reasons why one spouse may give in, but small issues can become big, and big issues can become even bigger if you just swallow it and not deal with this in a healthy way. So here's an example he brings, that Yaakov discovered not long into his marriage that his beautiful, brilliant wife, Esther, tended to shut down for no apparent reason. She looked like something was wrong. She acted like something was wrong. And when he asked her what's wrong, she would irritably reply, "Nothing. We have to smile all day long." So to keep that dead, sullen expression at bay, Yaakov learned to walk on eggshells. They went out when Esther wanted to go out, stayed home when she wanted to stay home. They ate whatever Esther wanted to cook and had the guests who Esther wanted to invite. Esther determined when they would visit his family and when they would visit hers. Yaakov always felt an edge of tension inside, but he told himself, "I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and I'm keeping my wife happy." So Yaakov is thinking here that he's being mevater, when in fact what he's doing is he's participating in an unhealthy dance emotionally that he won't be able to sustain. Eventually, it's not going to hold. Either he'll withdraw from Esther so that her moodiness won't accept him. He'll put walls around his heart and just separate from her emotionally. So it shouldn't bother him, her moods and her things, and detach. Or he'll explode with all this pent-up tension. So Vatranis, in Yaakov's case, would move the couple apart from each other rather than allowing them to become closer. So there must be healthier ways to confront Esther in a respectful way and say, not everything has to go your way and we need to work it through. And that is really the idea. So it's very important, because when a spouse responds to opposition with yelling or fighting or being tough, the other one may always feel it necessary to be appeasing. The peace-loving spouse can't stand emotional upheavals and may try to shield the children from it. But it's an issue, because you could become a victim of an emotional or physical, even a physical abuse at some point. So the Vatranis really needs a Shekel Hadas. You really need to ask a Shaila. It's not always simple to be mevater. So, because again, this destructive patterns of enmeshment that one needs to be careful to avoid. And this is an example of, these are examples of how you go about avoiding it. It's not always the healthy thing to be mevater, to overlook when you know it's going to fester or it's going to cause a greater distance, and it's better to actually, you know, grow by dealing with it directly and being more forthcoming and not being mevater, but in a healthy way, expressing what needs to be expressed. So he goes through examples of all these type of differences of disagreements. Number one is the right hashkafa type of thing. They have different hashkafas about child rearing. One of them feels that they're too loose. The other one feels that they're too tough. Learning. He wants to learn. She wants him to learn all the time. But sometimes the husband needs a little more relaxation. And sometimes one is feels that the other one's too critical, doesn't laugh often, and which the one of them finds depressing. The other one says, no, life is serious. You have to take life seriously. Sometimes it's using sarcasm with one another. Sometimes, you know, the difference in free time. One of them wants to go to the gym. The other one says, you know, let's say the husband wants to go to the gym. The wife says, no time to go learn, no time to help with the kids. And all of a sudden you're going and running to the gym. But he says, okay, so I'll end up being an overweight middle-aged man with pill box full of medication, high blood pressure medication, and so on and so forth. He wants her to look attractive. She says, I want to look comfortable. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to bother with the makeup, the shaitel, attractive clothing at home. The husband feels, I don't care. You don't care about me. So, and or these small things that drive each other crazy. So all of these things we're going to discuss in upcoming share, what the healthy way to deal with a lot of these issues, where sometimes to be mevater is healthy, but there are times where it's not, and one needs to express their needs in a very clear way. Brachah and hatzlacha.